Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. That was a poem that was written by William Ralph Featherstone. Sometime in the 1860s, he was in between the age of 12 and 15 when he penned those words. He mailed them to his aunt, who was the one who got a hold of him and said, "This needs to be published." Beautiful words, inviting each one of us to remember a personal devotion in our love and adoration of our Lord Jesus Christ. When she had those words published, it was years later, after he had died, that A.J. Gordon got a hold of these words and turned them into the hymn that the choir sang for us this day. So beautifully. A.J. Gordon, when I heard that, I go, I know that name. A.J. Gordon was the founder of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary and Gordon College, where Addison is a senior this year. So it made me smile when I was looking at the history there of what was going on with this hymn that they were singing for us. It made me smile thinking back at the summer also. For our son Addison is officially bringing a girl into our family. He got down on one knee in June and he proposed to Alexa Powell and said, "Will you be my wife?" And so we were thrilled. Alexa's from Newtown, Connecticut, and as we get together with Patty's whole family on the Cape every summer, we invited her parents to come join us. You know, including other people is the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's complicated also, isn't it? Especially as you're building new relationships. And so I started to panic after we invited them there, because 90% of you have seen it, right? That big fat wedding, right? You've seen it, right? So here's the deal. Raise your hand if your family is the big wild family. Really? Come on. Mary Beth, I was at that wedding. You raise your hand. So raise your hand if you're the quiet family. Are you really? A bunch of boring Presbyterians. Oh my gosh, so I come from a very quiet family. Just my brother-in-law. Small family in Oregon. We got to see relatives every now and then, but we were that small, quiet family. And I come into Patty's family where it's this big, loud explosion of stuff, you know. And when they put the food on the table, there's no pause. It's just Now, siblings, you've got to be a wild family. I didn't see your hands up, but you're all smiling big, right? So I was nervous with Alexa's parents and how do we include and just. How do we do all the work that's there? And so our message this morning is about everybody is included. We are going to continue to turn to the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. If I abide in you and you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. Remember this discourse. It starts in chapter 13 and moves on in the Gospel of John. There's a change. This part of the change they call the Book of Glory, because really it's about Jesus spending a lot of time with his disciples. It's after the great triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's after Jesus has spent time speaking with them about what it means to be a servant. It's after he's washed their feet that he shares these words with them. So turn with me to John chapter 15. Beginning with verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. God's word of encouragement and challenge to each one of us here this day. You know, it's the power of the Spirit of God that really leads us to this place that we can abide fully in God's love and live fully in that love and live it out fully and completely. In Acts 2:42, we learn that the disciples and all those who were coming to faith and recognizing Jesus as Lord and Savior were coming together to give thanks, to break bread, and to have fellowship together. It was a beautiful kind of gathering that was going on there. And then later in Acts chapter 4, we learn how they lived that out as the church continued to expand after thousands of people were joining. It tells us that what the church did was sell everything that they needed to sell so that everybody could have some. It was this beautiful kind of sharing celebration as they met in home churches to gather and praise and give thanks. They sold their, do not have enough clothes, because I can help you with that. Let me get you some, and you're not eating well. We need to make sure that we're taking care of you. We can help you get healthy. Come regularly and let us feed you. It was this joyous kind of celebration of including everybody. And it continued for the ever till the end of this time perfectly in every way, right? Except when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And that's where we learn about communion. But we also learned at that time that they were struggling already, that there were divisions already. That I knew that the Wiggins had the best roast beef. And so I'm going to go hang out with you. And can we eat over there? Because we don't want to share it with all those folks. So are you okay with that? So then there were folks over there that didn't. I mean, so the division in this beautiful thing that was happening about everybody being included in the body of Christ immediately had its challenges. Because of the brokenness of humanity that's there. Everybody is included, a theology of God, everybody included, a difficult practice to live out every day. And why is that? Why do you think that is? It's easy for us to pick out differences, isn't it? Maya Angelou has a beautiful poem, The Human Family, and it goes, I note the obvious differences in the human family. Some of us are serious. Some of us thrive on comedy. Some declare their lives are lived as true profundity, and others claim that they live the real reality. The variety of our skin tones can confuse, bemuse, and delight. Brown and pink and beige and purple, tan and blue and white. I've sailed upon the seven seas and stopped in every land. I've seen the wonders of the world, not yet one common man. I know 10,000 women called Jane and Mary Jane, but I've not seen any who are really the same. Mere twins are different, although their features jive, and lovers think quite different thoughts while lying side by side. We love and lose in China, we weep on England's moors, we laugh and moan in Guinea, we thrive on Spanish shores. We seek success in Finland, are born and die in Maine. In minor ways, we differ. In major ways, the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type. But we are more alike, my friends, than we are unlike. We are more alike, my friends, than we are unlike. So the challenges of walking through culture every day, not even that people look different, they might even act different. So there are many difficulties. How we figure out to honor God by living and abiding and thriving as that vine. And remember to be people who include. I remember just out of college when I was living in Chicago on Sheridan Drive and had this beautiful view of the lake, living in that beat up little apartment but could see across to the lake. There were some challenging blocks that I had to walk through to get to the grocery store. Out of all my roommates, I was the only one who wasn't mugged. I was pushed around one time, but I was the only one who wasn't mugged. And I remember sitting around, and by this time, you know, I'd grown up with everything I could ever imagine. But when my parents divorced when I was 17, it all stopped right when I went to college. I had to work my way through college. I had to pay for fun. I had to pay for books. I had to pay for food. I had to pay for it all. A lot of us did that. That's just what I did. Don't feel sorry for me. I also probably paid for a semester of skiing in Colorado. I paid for it all. But when I got to Chicago, and for the first time in my life, was in a very racially mixed kind of environment, I remember sitting down and just kind of struggling through and saying, I don't get it. I just don't understand. Why don't these people just go to school and get a decent job? I don't understand why they don't do that. And then I began to grow and learn and think. When I was that 17-year-old boy, I had had 17 years of people telling me I was going to college. I'd had 17 years of people telling me I was going to be a success. I had 17 years of people telling me I could do whatever I wanted to do. Not recognizing that different culture that's out there, where people have been raised very differently than I was, and told very different things about their lives. So when we're being encouraged this day to remember that everybody is included, as we're sitting in a country right now where all over the news, the question of whose lives matter is flashed before us almost daily, I invite us to think about it differently, not just to pontificate as I did that evening in that hotel or apartment in Chicago, but to pay attention to why people are claiming some things. Black lives matter, blue lives matter, everybody's lives matter, and all the kind of chatter that's going on between that in our country. Of course we know in the church that everybody's life matters. We don't have to debate that, but we don't have to get nasty when other things come up, because do you know what? People have experiences that we have not had. People have been trained emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, in ways that we have not been. If somebody is feeling excluded, it's not our call to debate. God's challenge upon each one of us is to respond. I asked Marshall if I could talk about my experiences with him. He gave me the okay. Marshall Bell, many of you would know and love here in this church. Basically grew up in the church as a youth also. Marshall has dwarfism. He's a little person. I remember sitting down when I first got here 6 years ago, and I said, tell me about yourself and what I need to say and what I don't need to say. And just, you know, we had this kind of open conversation. But it's interesting, the journey that I've had with Marshall. When you go into a store, when we're walking through an airport, when we're out at a restaurant, I see all the eyes on us, but particularly him. Always staring, always looking, treating him differently. We went into a store together, and I don't know who went first, whatever, but I remember being greeted by the person, hello, and that same person looked at Marshall and went, hey, buddy. Yeah, you know, there is something silly, but there's also something, I excluded you. You're different. You look different. I'm going to treat you differently. It's a hard thing. Including everybody should be the easiest thing for any of us to do. But if we think about it, the thoughts that we have, the actions we have, or the lack of actions that are not expressed, including everybody, being a part of this vine and living out the truth of Jesus by being people that are involved in including everybody is difficult. So as I work through this, I'm challenged in many ways. I hope you are challenged also. And before I end with just a few thoughts, I'd like to pause for a moment and invite you to join me in prayer. Father, forgive the hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class. Father, forgive. The greed which exploits the labors of men, women, and children and lays waste to the earth. Father, forgive our envy of the welfare and happiness of others. Father, forgive our indifference to the plight of the homeless and the refugee. Father, forgive the lust which uses ignoble ends the bodies of men and women and children. Father, forgive the pride which leads us to trust in ourselves and not in you, our loving God. Father, forgive and lead us by your Spirit to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as you in Christ have forgiven each one of us. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If I abide in you and you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. So how is it that we can live this out? I thought of three kind of simple divides here. Forced inclusion, false inclusion and faithful inclusion. Forced inclusion, we all know how we've been pushed into things that we don't want to and have to pretend like we're glad somebody else is there, particularly as children or helping our children, right? But forced inclusion, I just read the article of the Washington coach, Chris Peterson, University of Washington, on the football team. If you've played football or a team sport, you know these kind of things that happen. Give me a lap, give me 10. Whatever kind of penalty happens when you're not giving enough, when you're not helping enough, when you're not doing the right thing that you're supposed to do. But at the University of Washington, Chris Peterson does something very different when he has two players that get into a fight or a scuffle with each other on the practice field. He makes them do a lap together, walking, holding hands. Wouldn't that be fun to see? That, I believe, is forced inclusion. False inclusion is if we pretend that there's not sin in the world. There is sin in our world. There are things that are harmful to others and harmful to each other. And there are times where we need to speak up about those kind of things. And so we don't just have to say that, oh, anything works for anybody in any way. It just doesn't matter. It does matter because God has sent protection for us and boundaries for us. So it's false inclusion if you say, everybody, everything, every sin, let's just enjoy it all. It's all just one big party. That's false inclusion. Faithful inclusion is knowing where you come from, that you're not a corn stalk, that you're not a pumpkin plant, but that you're part of this great vine. This vine planted and rooted in a God who has loved you and forgiven you and called you. And so as you receive that, you are invited to participate differently and just live it out. Just live it out. I think of Ruth Pike. She just died last month. She should be sitting right back there, but she's not there right now. And I think of Ruth Pike, who's been a volunteer in the food cupboard for many, many years. And with all those people coming in and picking up the food that you all share so generously, she decided to create a hospitality table. Because she wanted people to feel welcome. She wanted to have people feel included. It was a simple act, but boy, powerful consequences of letting people know you're loved, you're important, and you're included. The challenge for each one of us this day, as we want to pontificate his times, as we all do, the challenge for us is to ask, are we reflecting the things of the world more than we're reflecting the light of Christ's love? Are we reflecting things of the world more than we're reflecting the light of Christ's love? This week on my phone, the NBC app came across and I was amazed. Just absolutely amazed at the beauty of this clip that was there of a group of students, including their teacher, in their lives and in their love. And I was amazed that it came across on NBC News, but I want you to see it and experience it now.
Your glory, God, is what.
Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If I abide in you, and you abide in me, you shall bear much fruit. Those students were abiding and living in and leaning into the truth of God. So many times we think with our Christian faith that it's almost like we have to lug it along. Like we have to try tie a cord to a statue of Jesus or a St. Francis statue or something. We just have to slug and log our way through life. But the reality is this image of this vine and branches is we just have to lean into the truth. We have to let God nurture us and lead us to new places and new actions and transform us in beautiful, awesome ways. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide, abide, abide. Abide in me, for everybody is invited. 2 Peter 2:9 says, God is not slow in fulfilling his promises, but he is patient with us, not desiring any to perish. All are invited. All are included. Ephesians 2:7. Jesus came to proclaim peace to those who were far away and those who are near. Everybody is included.